We're holding on Samach Hey Amud Aleph, the fourth line. We started discussing the question of a katan or katana being able to be mezaka, you being able to be mezaka to them themselves being able to be zoicha in something versus them versus being able to be mezaka through them to others. So we mentioned the Mishnah about the fact that a katana. So we have according to the Chachamim in the Mishnah, a Naira HaMarosa can receive her own get. And Rashi had explained over here that it meant only a Naira, not a Tana. But then Tosfos explains that in Kiddushin, Rashi changed his mind. And then we talked about, then the Mishnah talked about that when you have a girl who's too young, Lishmeres Gita, to even watch her get, to realize what a get is and to know that she has to hold on to it. So that led us into a discussion of the different ages of children and of, the different ages actually we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara and what you're able to do in that vein. So one thing we said was that when you have something that's purely Dirabbanan, then we say that you can be mezaka through a child, for example, with shittuf mevayis. But when it comes to something that has a basis in Daraisa, then you can't. So the Gemara says, Mosiv Rav Ivya. So Rav Ivya says, then in that case, I have a contradiction. So you're telling me that with something that has a basis in Daraisa, then you can't accomplish it. You can't be mezaka through a child. But we learn in a Mishnah. We learn a Mishnah in Masechta Maaseh Sheni. Now you have like this. When you're redeeming, when you have Maaseh Sheni and you're exchanging it for money because you can't bring it to your shalayim for whatever reason, so you pay the equivalent amount of it, and then that money becomes Maaseh Sheni money. So now though, the Torah tells us that if you're being poda your own Maaseh, then you need to add a chomesh, you need to add an extra 25%. So a person may not want to do that. He doesn't want to have more Maaseh Sheni money than necessary. So the Mishnah says, Ma'arimin al Maaseh Sheni, you're allowed to play a trick. You're allowed to do an evasion using Maaseh Sheni. Ketzad, Omer Odom l'bnoi b'tei agdolim, a person can say to his older son or daughter, and we discussed yesterday, does older actually mean above bar bas mitzvah? Does it maybe mean, Tosfos had discussed, it might mean that it has to have to be that they're not eating at his table and being supported by him. Anyway. But he can tell them, or he can tell his Eved Ivri or Omer or Shifcha or Omer Ivriya, tells them, Hey Lachem Mois Halalu, here, take this money, and use it to redeem this Maaseh Sheni. And then it's not theirs, so therefore they don't have to pay the Chomesh. And that way he's able to eat that original produce without having to pay the Chomesh, because they are other people, they're not him himself. So therefore that works. So now the Tosfos, by the way, discusses that how is a cotton able to be poda Maaseh Sheni? And so Tosfos says that we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara about a child who's old enough to be an Onas Nedarim. So then so they're able to take Truma, so by the same token, they're able to be Mechalel Maaseh Sheni. And Tosfos further on discusses the fact that where's the das acheres, where's the other das that's involved over here. Where we learned yesterday, Tosfos says that you need das acheres, you need an adult being mezaka to them. And again, the answer is that if we're talking about a child who's old enough to be an ones nedarim, then that works as well. Or that maybe when it comes to chilul meiser, maybe you don't even need that. Maybe you don't even need that. So now hai shifcha hechidami. So now let's consider, like we considered in the piece yesterday, what kind of shifcha are we talking? What kind of omohevriya are we talking about? Ida astya beis sairus, if she already developed shtei sairus, my boy gabe, then what's she doing by him? At that point, she's already a gdola. Once she develops shtei sairus, she's out of there, because now an omohevriya only has to work, even if it's within the 6 years. If she develops shtei sairus, then she goes free. Obviously, we have to be talking about where she hasn't even developed shtei sairus yet. And so we see that a katana in this case is able to accomplish something that involves money. So in other words, they can be zoicha, they can be mezakeh to somebody else, because they're being poda Maaseh Sheni, and they're being poured to Meister Sheni, and they're giving it to him. So again, okay, you know, even we're talking like Tosfos says a muflas samoch leish, or where a girl's 11 or a boy is 12, they're old enough for ones nedarim, but still they're a katan or a ktana, and yet the Mishnah is implying that they're able to, and yet the Mishnah is saying they're able to do that. The answer is the ma'aser b'zman hazeh d'rabbanan. The answer is we can be talking about the ma'aser that takes place nowadays, which is in effect only d'rabbanan, because midaraisa ma'aser applies only when kol yeshveh ha'alecha, when all the Jewish people, or most of them, are living in Eretz Yisrael, when shmita and yovel apply d'raisa. So nowadays it would only be ma'aser would be only d'rabbanan. So therefore, again, since it's Drabbanan, then fine. We said before that when it comes to Drabbanan, the Chachamim say that he can do it. Now, we did say before the distinction between whether it has Ikur Minat Torah or not. So here, arguably, what we're saying is that Meiser nowadays does not even have an Ikur Minat Torah. So how is that? I mean, the fact is the concept of Meiser Sheni, the concept of Meiser Sheni exists d'oraisa. So there's an explanation, because the conditions that are needed for Meiser Sheni to exist don't exist nowadays, and therefore the whole concept that even when those conditions don't exist, we should still have Meiser Sheni is purely d'rabbanan. You have other examples. Let's say the Shaar HaMelech on Rambam points out that says that, for example, that eating moru nowadays is d'rabbanan, because midaraisa is only with the Korban Pesach, but it's still considered ikur minat Torah, because it says in the Torah about it. But the difference is because there, in principle, the conditions could happen nowadays. You could potentially bring a Korban Pesach nowadays, and therefore moru can be considered an ikur minat Torah in a way that this would not, because you can't actually go and physically gather Roiv Yeshveha to Eretz Yisrael. So we're talking what is Dirabban. Well, the Gemara has asked, okay, if you're talking about nowadays, when Meiser Sheni, which is a time when Meiser Sheni is only effective Dirabbanan, then how do we even have an Omo Hevriya? The whole concept of Eved Ivri exists only when Yovel was in effect. So no Yovel, no Eved Ivri or Omo Hevriya. So therefore, so what are you telling me? That nowadays there could be Maisa, which is Drabbanon, and you can have your Omo Hevriya be poded for you at a time when there's an Omo Hevriya, then Maisa is Daraisa, and at a time when Maisa is Drabbanon, then there's no Omo Hevriya. The answer is Ella. So no, we can say Ba'otit She'enin Nokur Drabbanon. We can be talking about produce that grew in a flower pot without a hole in it, whereas we've learned earlier in the Masechta, that's not considered growing in the ground, d'oraisa. It's chayiv only d'rabbanan. So therefore, we can call that something that doesn't have an ikur min haTorah, and say that a cotton can do it, and in this case be poyder. Now, of course, you do have the Gemara could have given an easier answer. The Ritva asked the question, so why didn't the Gemara give an easier answer, just involving vegetables, and according to vegetables, and according to the Rambam, most fruits, for that matter, are chayiv in Maisa Sheni in Maisa only the Rabbanan. And the answer is because when you take from an otzit she'ein enokov, then it has an ikur min haTorah, because then after all it's similar to other fruit that grows in regular ground. So we're saying that if it's an otzit she'ein enokov, then it's considered to have, then we say called the tokun rabbanon came to araisa tokun. And yet we see that, a child, in this case, in Omo Hevriya, is able to be poydet for you. Or the other way around, actually, the Ritva says rather that, he says because vegetables would be considered. He says just the opposite. Vegetables would be considered an ikur min haTorah because after all, even though it's true that those particular kinds of produce are only chayiv d'rabbanan, but the fact is there are other kinds that are chayiv d'oraisa. But something growing in an otzit she'enin nokov, in a flower pot, is so much different than something that grows in regular ground that it's not even considered an ikur d'oraita. It's not even considered an ikur min haTorah, and therefore we're saying that's why a child would be able to be poda that kind of miser, but not necessarily when it grew in the ground, even if it's the kind that it itself is chayiv only d'rabban. Okay, so that being the case, then, so we've made it work out how we can say, like Rav Chista in the Gemara yesterday, that called the Tokun Rabbanon, came to Araisa Tokun, that whenever the Chacham make a Takana, they make it as similar as possible to the thing to Araisa, and yet we're saying that a Katana can be poida Maisa Sheni. So the reason is because here it's considered that Ein Le'ikum in HaTorah, it's something purely Drabbanon, the whole concept that you should have to take Maiser from produce that grows in a flower pot. Okay. So Omar Rava, Gimel Midas B'Katan. So Rava summarizes, there are three different levels as far as age, as far as a cotton, as far as these dinim are being Zotha for himself and Mizaka to others. The first stage is Serve Zoke Eggers Venotloy, which we talked about yesterday, where the child is old enough that if you give him a pebble, he'll throw it away, but if you give him a nut, he'll hold on to it. So then he's old enough. Zoichalatzme vein zoichalacherim. At that point, he's able to be zoicha in something for himself, but he's not able to be mezaka for others yet. So this is, we talked about yesterday, for example, that let's say as far as the lulav and esrog on sukkos, you can be mezaka to him. He wouldn't be able to be mezaka back to you. So therefore, don't give it to him as a matana amanas lahachzir during sukkos. But other examples as well. For example, we said that as far as shittuf mavoyas to be mezaka to somebody else, that to be mezaka the eruv or the shittuf food to somebody else, you can't have a cotton that age do that. Next, and Rava adds, or connecting the ketana with kadeshes lamiyon, the parallel age of a ketana, would be where she's old enough to have kiddushin, where she would need to do miyon. We learned in Yevamos a great deal about miyon, that you have a girl who was married off by her sister, by her mother or by her brothers, where her father passed away, or where she's considered out of his rishus, in this case, maybe. Anyway, we said that midaraisa, that marriage doesn't even exist, and therefore you have the concept of miyun, that she can at some point say, I don't want to be married to this guy anymore, and the marriage is dissolved. When she's young enough, when she's below this age that we're talking about over here, of tsur v'zorka, egas v'noitloi, we're saying we don't even need, which the Rambam defines as being below 6 years old, she doesn't even need miyun, she can just go home back to her mother's house or whatever, whenever she wants, without even needing to make any declaration, because she's too young to really understand what kedushin even really are. Next. Then you have the age of po'otis, where we learned in the previous parak, is anywhere between 6 and 10 years old, depending on how knowledgeable the child is. Then mikochan memkach memkoran mimkur b'metaltlin. Then, as we learned in the previous parak, they're able to buy and they're able to sell, and it's valid d'rabbanon when it comes to metaltlin, because we said we want to make it possible for them to live. We want to make it possible for them to buy things and then use food and for them to be able to buy. To buy food, and we want to be able, them to be able to sell other things and use the money to buy food, etc. So that's an older age. That's between 6 and 10. So then, not only are they zoicha for themselves, but also mikochan mekach omimkonen mimkur b'metaltlin or kinegdan b'ktana. The parallel thing by ktana would be miskareshes b'kedusha avia, where we said in the Mishnah that she's old enough, where even if her father had been Makadosh her, and therefore her Kedushin are valid Daraisa, she's able to receive her own get. Because even though her Kedushin is valid Minatoda, but now she's able to, we learned yesterday, has to be in the Shalcha Ve'en Chazeres, that she's old enough to understand that when you send her away from a certain house, she's not returning to it. At this point, between 6 and 10, depending on how intelligent she is, she'll be able to understand that, and therefore the Gedushin will take effect. We learned yesterday that there's the difference. You have the two different opinions of Rashi, whether this din applies to whether Tana is able to receive her own get, or whether it's only that her father is able to receive it on her behalf for when she's a Tana. So here also you have the two possibilities. So 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 Rashi says that only after her father passes away are we saying that she's able to receive her get. But if her father is alive and she's a Ktana, he would still have to receive it on her behalf. But it would work because because we send her away and she doesn't return. And then, as we learned yesterday, Rashi himself in Kedushin, Tosfos says, changed his mind and said that even a Ktana, when her father is alive, is able to receive her get. So in that case, that's what it would mean here also. Then the third one, the Tosfos read, by the way, discusses, he has a girsa the other way around. He has a girsa that the first stage is where she's misgareshes b'kedusha avia, and the second one, this is between age six and 10, is misgadeshes l'miyum. And he explains in some detail that the reason is because gerushin doesn't so much require her das, after all, until chedem d'abena gerushim, a woman could be divorced against her will, so therefore it doesn't matter so much that she doesn't have das. So unlike, he says, in the case of Kiddushin, you do have to have, she's old enough to be niskadish on her own. She needs to be old enough to be able to know to watch the money of the Kiddushin. But the difference is, he says, first of all, Kiddushin requires a woman's das and her consent anyhow. And second of all, there you have an object which she needs to keep long term, as opposed to the get. In principle, she doesn't need to keep it that long term. She just needs it for proof that she was divorced, and then that's that. So he has a girsa the other way around, that the younger girl is already able to be divorced, and the older girl is the one who would require meal. The Rambam seems to have a similar girsa because he also says that a girl below six doesn't even need miyun at all. So that would fit with what we're saying over here about poetis. So then he continues. Then Rava continues. He giul onas nedarim. Once the child is of the age of onas nedarim, which is 12 for a boy, 11 for a girl, nidrehem neder vakdeshen hekdish, then any neder they make can be valid, depending, we have to check, as we learned in Nedarim, whether they know that a neder is addressed to Hashem, and anything they declare hektish is hektish, same thing. Or connect them, b'ktana, chelatzes, the parallel case, in the case of a ktana, when she reaches that age, then already she could do chalitza. So that would mean, in other words, according to what Rava is saying over here, a ktana could do chalitza already at age 11. Rashi says, specifically, we're talking about when she has simonim, when she has shtei sairus, from age 11. Usually we say that simonim that develop before bar or bas mitzvah, we usually say are just shuma, they're considered like just a wart that developed some hair. But here, once a girl is 11, or once a boy is a mole, really not a wart, whatever, a mole that developed hair, but here, once the girl is 11, or once the boy is 12, then it actually says, we don't say that, we say that the shtei sairus that developed are considered real simonim, at least in the case of the girl, and therefore she can already do chalitza. Tosfos, though, asks on that, because Rava himself elsewhere says, that in a Gemara in Nida, that the girl actually has to, that the Shtei Sairus actually have to develop after 12 for a girl and on, or after 12 for a girl and 13 for a boy. So how could he be saying over here that it's good enough if it's 11? So Tosfos discusses two possibilities. Maybe what the Gemara means is when a girl reaches the age of a boy's Oinas Nedarim, then she's old enough to do Chalitza. In other words, like this, it doesn't mean when the girl is old enough for her own Oinas Nedarim, which is 11. It means for a boy, Oinas Nedarim kicks in at 12. So therefore, when a girl reaches, so we're saying Kenegdon, corresponding to the boy, when a girl reaches age 12 and she's developed Shtei Sairus, then she could do Chalitza. That's one possibility. And then Tosfos brings another possibility is that we're talking over here specifically according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who says in Yevamos that a ketana, that po'otis could already do chalitza. And another possibility is that here it's not Rava, but rather Rabba. And then he's not contradicting himself at all. Okay. Anyway, Rava finishes off. So those are the three stages of a katan or a ketana. So again, you have stage one where they're old enough to know the difference between a pebble and a nut, where one's worth keeping and the other one's not. So you're talking maybe like 3-4 years old. The second one is po'otis, which is anywhere between 6 and 10. So then at that point, we said they can be zoicha for themselves, but not others. Then the second stage is po'otis, which we said is between 6 and 10 years old. So then So then they were able to buy and sell midrabanan, and a girl would be able to. So in the first case, a girl is already old enough to require miyun, and in the second case, she's old enough that she can be that she can receive her own get, or at least that her father can receive that that she can receive her own get. Definitely if her father passed away, and according to Rashi's revised opinion, even if her father is alive. And then the third stage is where they can do nedarim and ekdeshes, and where a girl is able to do chalitza. And he finishes off the limkub nichse obim. However, when it comes to an heir selling real estate that he inherited from his father, then he needs to be even older. Adchi he ben esrim. Then he has to be 20 years old in order to do that. Up until that point, we say he doesn't really have full understanding, especially it was a Yerusha, so he doesn't really know the value of it. So we have to wait until he's 20, until he really understands how business works and how buying and selling works, so that he knows to get it estimated for a fair price. There's a machlokas rishonim. Would the same thing apply to? Does it also apply to something that he received as a matana? Does it apply to anything that he himself previously bought? Does it apply only where he yarshin it from his father, etc.? But in any case, in a certain case like that, we say he has to wait until 20, even though, of course, for most purposes, he's considered a gadol at 13. But for this purpose, we have to wait till he's 20. There is the Alter Rebbe explains in Lechut HaTorah, in connection with the census in the Midbar, where they counted them beginning from age 20. The Alter Rebbe explains over there, Api Kabbalah, that the reason why only at 20 a person gets his full moichin is, so we know a person has Eser Koichas and Nefesh, you have 10 soul powers, which correspond to the 10 spheres. The word Yud itself is spelt out in full, Yud Vav Dalet, which equals 20. So a person really develops only the full Eser Koichas and Nefesh, including in this case, the ability to understand the value of money and the value of the land only when he reaches 20 years old. Okay. Mishnah says, continuing on the subject of Shlichus of Gittin and as far as a katana and this connection, so the Mishnah says katana sha'omra. If a katana says to a shliach, "Iskabel li giti, receive my get on my behalf," now as a katana, she doesn't have the ability to appoint a shliach. Therefore, in a get that she agia get liyada, so it won't be a get until it actually reaches her hands, because she doesn't have the ability to appoint a shliach who will stand in her place. Therefore, if before she receives the get, the husband wants to change his mind and take back the get, then he can do that for the same reason that we've been discussing in the Mishnayos until now, because the get hasn't taken effect yet. And the reason is because a katan cannot make a shliach. The whole concept of shlichus, we learn from a gadol. We learn from the fact that a person is able to separate truma, and then the pasuk says gam atem, which from which we learn the concept of a shliach. Only a gadol can do that, not a katan. But the Mishnah continues. But if the father appoints the shliach kabbalah and says, "Go receive this get for my daughter," then the husband can't change his mind, because the father does have the ability to appoint a shliach. Since we said in the previous Mishnah, the father can receive the get himself on behalf of his daughter when she's a ktana, or naira for that matter. Therefore, he also has the ability to appoint a shliach kabbalah for that purpose, and that will take effect as usual when the shliach kabbalah receives the get. So now the husband wouldn't be able to take back the get. Mishnah continues, a different case. Ha'oimer 10 get zel ishti b'mok employin. If the husband says, "Give this get to," over on the side over here, it says really it should be tnu in plural, because you have two aidim. Anyway, he says, "Give this get to my wife in such and such a place." And they gave it to her in a different place. Possible, then it's possible, because he didn't appoint them shluchim to do it in a different place. He dafka wanted to do it in a certain place. Let's say, for example, he may not have wanted to have it done in a place where people are going to talk against him. Rashi says, "Ein ritzon ishi al izu all of sham." He doesn't want that people are going to talk badly about him over there. So therefore, he's machbid on that, and therefore, it's not a valid get. But Harehi b'mokim ploini. But if he tells him, bring her the get, you'll find her in such and such a place. And he gives it to her elsewhere, kosher. Then it's kosher because then he's not saying you have to give it to her here. He's just saying that's where you'll find her. It's called mara mokim hulo. He's only showing him where you'll find her. Continues the Mishnah. Similarly, ha'isha sha'omri skabali giti b'mokim ploini. If the wife says to the shliach kabbalah, receive my get for me in such and such a place. And he receives it for her in a different place. Also possible. However, here, here Rabbi Lozer, on the side here, it says that it might be Rabbi Eliezer, and we're going to actually have it in the Gemara, where it also has the Gersa Rabbi Eliezer. Anyway, he says it's kosher. Now, why does he argue only in this case and not in the previous case? We'll see in the Gemara. Another din, though, on the other hand, if she says, but if she says, bring me my get from such and such a place. So here is not a Shliach Kabbalah. Here is a different kind of shliach. So in fact, we talked about at the beginning of the perek that besides shliach halacha and shliach kabbalah that we're talking about until now, the Rambam learns that there's a third kind called shliach hava, which is the wife appoints somebody to bring the get to her, and that's valid, unlike a shliach kabbalah where he doesn't even need to bring it to her because as soon as he receives it, it takes effect. The Rambam holds there's such a thing as shliach hava. So, you see from this Gemara that she's saying hovili giti. So you see there is such a concept. And then you also have, on the other hand, if you say that not, then you could say, in other words, that she's so she has the ability to appoint a shliach hava, or you could say that she's appointing a shliach kabbalah, but she's telling him that within that it won't take effect until X amount of time has passed. We're going to learn extensively in the next parak about the concept where you can give a get with a time delay on it. So here, in effect, it would be the same kind of thing, maybe, that she's saying, I want you to receive the get on my behalf. But unlike a normal shliach kabbalah, where it'll take effect right away, this one will take effect only when you come from such and such a place. Anyway, he brings it from someplace else, kosher. Then it's also kosher, even according to the Tanna Kamma, because it takes effect only when she receives it, and so therefore she obviously didn't care where the shliach was given the get. So the Gemara asks, "Rabbi Lozer, Maishna Reisha Dalepolig, or Maishna Sefer Dalepolig? Why in the Reisha does Rabbi Lozer not disagree in the case of the husband, where the husband says receive my, where the husband says give her the get in such and such a place, and instead he brings her the get elsewhere, and both Rabbi Lozer and the Chachamim seem to agree that's possible. And then in the Sefer, where it's talking about her saying to the Shliach, receive this get in such and such a place, and he does it someplace else where Rabbi Lozer says it's kosher. What's the difference?" The difference is because the husband is divorcing with his das, because the get requires his das, therefore kofid, therefore we can say that he's machbid, so it all depends on him. So you can say that he's machbid, that it should be taking place only in a certain place. But the wife can be divorced by korcha, so therefore So therefore we can say Marim Mokim Hiloi. So therefore she's just telling him where you'll find, according to the Belazer, she's just telling him where you'll find my husband. She's not saying that Davka has to be there, because it actually says she would have no way of knowing that her husband Davka wants to give it there as opposed to someplace else. It's not up to her, therefore it's only Marim Mokim Hiloi. Okay. The Mishnah continues. The Mishnah continues, if a woman says to a shliach, havi li giti, bring me my get, and again, he's only a shliach eva, and he's not going to take effect until the get actually reaches her, so then fine, echelos betruma ad sheyagia get liyada. So if she's the wife of a kohen, she's able to eat truma until she actually receives the get, because until she actually receives it, it hasn't taken effect. And therefore, she's still the wife of a kohen, and she's still able to eat truma. But if she says iskabel legiti b'mokim ploini, but if she says receive my get for me, and therefore it's a shliach kabbalah, and the get will take effect as soon as the shliach reads it, gets it, asura lachal b'truma miyad, then she's also to eat truma right away, because what if the shliach already got it? What if the shliach already received it and it took effect? Now Tosfos points out, on the face of it, shouldn't we say she has a chazaka? Until now she was able to eat truma, and that chazaka should continue until we know for sure that chazaka has been broken. So Tosfos says, on the other hand, yes, what we talked about yesterday, the concept of shliach oisa shlichusai, we do have a different chazaka that says that a shliach fulfills his shlichus, and therefore, midrabanan, we're going to say that she can't eat truma. The chachamim are going to be machmir and say that she can't eat truma already because of that, even though we ought to say that the chazaka shliach oisa shlichusai may not apply where it depends on somebody else. Here it depends on the husband being willing to give him the get. Nevertheless, we're still machmir and we're still saying that she can't eat truma from that point. What about if she says skabali giti b'makom ploini? What about if she says receive my get in such and such a place, where we learned in the previous Mishnah that if he receives it elsewhere, the Tanakhama said it's possible and Rabbi Elazar said it's kosher. So if she says, receive it for me in such and such a place, then the Tanakhama says she's able to eat truma until the get would reach that place. Because in other words, she has to figure out how long would it take for the get to reach there. And until then, it's not going to be chal. So she has to figure out how long will it take the shliach to travel over there and receive the get. Rabbi Eliezer Oyser, on the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer Oyser Miyad, Rabbi Eliezer says she's also right away. And here you have this different, again, you have in the previous Mishnah, you have the different Gersois, Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Lozer. The Gemara is going to point out that his opinion has to mesh with his opinion in the previous Mishnah. So therefore, it has to be the same Tana in both places. Either it's Rabbi Eliezer in both places or it's Rabbi Lozer in both places. Anyway, he says Oyser Miyad, he says it's also right away because again, according to him, in the previous Mishnah, the shliach could in fact receive the get someplace else, and it would be kosher. So there's always the concern that he might have met up with the husband someplace else and received the get from him there. So the Gemara says, now v'gita miyahavi. So you're telling me, at least though, according to the Chachamim, you're saying that the get will be a valid get. Because what are you saying? In other words, according to the Chachamim, you're saying she can eat truma until the shliach reaches that place. Because up until that point, we're saying she can't have received the get. The shliach can't have received the get yet because she told him in a certain place. But the implication is that as soon as it does reach that place, then she's megudashes. Va'amr today shall I have a gita. But didn't we say before that the Tanakhama had said that if he receives the get someplace else, it's not a valid get, even if he receives there later. So in other words, the expression in the Mishnah, ad she'agia get lo'isim mokim, doesn't sound like it means until the shliach reaches that place. It sounds like it means until the get can reach that place. In other words, the shliach may have received the get someplace else, but he still has to travel to that place, and only then will it take effect. But according to the Chachamim in the previous Mishnah, if he received it someplace else, it's possible, and that's that. So why is the Mishnah using the expression ad she'agia get lo isamakim? The point is maybe the Mishnah should be using the word ad she'agia shliach lo isamakim or something to that effect to make it clear that he can only receive the get in that place, as the husband had said. So the answer is loit tzricha. No, but rather not that he said, that she said. We talked about in the previous Mishnah that the wife also, according to the Tanakhama, we had said if she says receive it from me in such and such a place, he has to receive it davka in that place. And if not, then it's possible according to the Chachamim. So why are we saying ad she'agia get lo isamakim, which implies that he could have received it someplace else, and now he just has to travel to that place to make it take effect. So the answer is loy tzricha. The chiddush, the case of the Mishnah is de omrale. The wife says to the shliach, "Hiskabeli giti b'mosa machasya. Receive the get for me in the city of Mosa Machasya. It's a city above. It's a city in Babel. It's either identical with or a suburb of Sura. At times, in the time of Rav Ashi, the great Masivta of Sura was located there in Mosa Machasya. Anyway, so she says, receive the get for me in Mosa Machasya. But you should know, sometimes instead you'll find my husband in the city of Babel. Babel is the name of a country. It's also the name of a city and of a district, the same way as New York is the name of a city and of a state. So she mentions Mosa Machasya versus Babel, not meaning Babel the country, but Babel the city or the district. Anyway, so if she had only said Iskabali Giti b'Mosa Machasya, then the Chachamim are saying if he meets up with the husband anywhere else outside of Mosa Machasya and receives the get from him, no good. But because now she adds, and sometimes you'll find him in Babel, then therefore that amounts to Mara Makam Hiloi. That means that she's just telling him where you'll find my husband. So therefore, v'hachi kamrali. So we can understand that she's saying like this: Mishkal, as far as taking the get, kol heich de mashkachas leishak lemine. Wherever you meet up with my husband, you can receive the get from me. Gita loy havi ad demotis lemosim achasya. But I want it to not take effect as a get until it reaches mosim achasya, and there you'll be my shliach kabbalah. So now, if he receives the get, so even if he received the get someplace else, then fine, it still hasn't taken effect yet until it reaches Masa Machasya. So therefore, she has to figure out how long will it take from when I sent the shliach until he reaches Masa Machasya, and then once that time comes, then she can't eat truma anymore because he may have received it. But up until that point, it would be fine. Nevertheless, though, the shliach could have received the get someplace else, and it would be kosher because she didn't tell him you dafka have to receive it in Masa Machasya. Now, Tosfos, though, does bring up a problem because what happens when he comes to Masa Machasya? He's not receiving it there from the husband. So therefore, it's the equivalent of, in the next perek, we're going to talk about a case where the husband said, we talked about it earlier in the Masechta as well, where the husband says to the wife, Tli gitich me'agabe karka, take you get from off the ground, and that doesn't work. It has to be that he or his shliach gives it to her. So here, if the shliach kabbalah is standing in place of the wife, and he's not actually receiving it in Masa Machasya because he already has it in his possession, then how does that work? And if, on the other hand, we're talking about Tosfos says you could maybe have when the husband gives it to him, he says, fine, from you're going to be a shliach halacha from here until Masa Machasya. Then when you reach Masa Machasya, you'll become a shliach kabbalah. That doesn't work. We talked about the other day, loy chazur shlichos eitzel abal. We said that you can't have that in the middle of a shlichos, you change to a different shlichos. It has to be that you're able to go back to the original mashaleach, still in your role as a shliach, and say that you accomplished your shlichos, not that your old shlichos expired and you took on a new shlichos. We talked about the other day about this chosra shlichos and loy chosra shlichos eitzel abal, the exact parameters of it. But the bottom line is Tosfos is saying that here you would have that problem. If he goes and goes from being a shliach halacha to a shliach kabbalah, then that wouldn't work. Now, according to Rashi earlier in the Masechta, maybe conceivably it could work because Rashi learns over there it's only the wife herself can't go from being a shliach to being the principal of the thing, where not even a shliach, but she herself is receiving a get, implying maybe that where it's one shliach becoming another shliach, it would be fine. But according to Tosfos' understanding, it certainly wouldn't work. So how does it work over here? So Tosfos says, what it means is the husband tells him, I'm giving you this get. I know my wife said it should take effect only in Masa Machasya. Therefore, you're a shliach halacha until you come to Masa Machasya. Then, when you're there in Masa Machasya, you will appoint another shliach halacha. And then, having appointed another shliach halacha, then fine. Now you don't need to be a shliach halacha anymore because you have somebody to take over for you. Now you're able to become a shliach kabbalah. Now you're able to become a shliach kabbalah, and therefore you're able to receive it. So we can work it out that way. Tosfos says another answer is the whole time he's a shliach kabbalah, but again, you could have that the get has a time delay in it. But he's saying you're going to be a shliach kabbalah, but nevertheless, the get is only going to take effect when such and such a condition is fulfilled, namely when you reach Masa Machasya. Okay, so either way, that can be made to work. Now, we said in the Mishnah of Rabbi Elazar Oysimiyad, we said Rabbi Elazar said that once the wife says to the Shliach Kabbalah, receive the get for me in such and such a place, then we said, Rabbi Elazar had said in the previous Mishnah that the get can be kosher even if he receives it someplace else, because it's only Marim Makom Huloi. And in our Mishnah, therefore, Rabbi Elazar says that she can't eat truma right away. So the Gemara asks Pshita. Well, obviously she can't eat truma right away. Because after all, we just said Mara Mokim Hiloi. She's not necessarily insisting that the get has to be received in such and such a place. So of course then, as soon as she sends off the shliach, he might right away have met the husband very shortly after that and receive the get from him. And according to Rabbi Elazar, that get would be kosher. So what's the chiddush of saying that she's also to eat truma right away? And the answer is Lloyd Sricha. The chiddush is the omrele zilla mizrach, the ise b'mizrach. Suppose that she tells the shliach, go towards the east, go eastward out of the city, the ise b'mizrach, because my husband will be located on the east side of the city. It's a different girsa. Different girsa that the Ran has that says the other way around. The husband is located on the east side of the city, and she says, Zilba Mizrach, go to the east. So therefore, she's not just Maramokim, she's actually telling him to go in that direction. The girsa that we have in front of us in the Gemara just seems to imply that she's not really ordering him to, she's just telling him, if you want to find him, that's where you'll find him. Anyway, the Ka'ozel Lamayrav, instead, the Shliach went towards the west. So now, you're going to think there's no concern that he can't possibly meet the husband in the west because the husband is not located over there. So therefore, there should be no concern. And Rabbi Lazar should say that she still should still be mutter to Yitzchak. Kamash Malan. Therefore, Rabbi Lazar is telling us that no, because Duma Bahadi to cause Omegas Goyispe, it could happen that while he was walking, he happened to meet up with the husband, the Yahav Legita, and he gave him the get. Because in other words, he may not... And a husband may not have, like this, how does the husband get from east of the city to the west of it? The Rosh brings from Yerushalmi. He may not necessarily have come into the city at all. If he did, the Pashtus, it might be a small enough city that the wife would know that he was there, and then she could give new instructions to the Shliach. Here we're talking about, though, he may have bypassed the city altogether and gone directly from east to west, and then the Shliach happens to meet up with him there. So therefore, Rabbi Lazar is concerned for that, and therefore he says that right away she'll be also to Yitzchak. Okay. Since we're talking about a shliach doing differently than what he was told, and when do we say that the mishaleach was makbid, it has to be done dafka in such a way, versus when do we say that mara makam huloi? So now the Gemara brings a related concept in connection with eruv tchumen. So we know that the one way of making eruv tchumen is that you put food down, the amount of shtei sudas, and you put it down in the place where you want it to be your home base for Shabbos, and then you have 2,000 amos in every direction from that. So the Gemara discusses. Suppose a person says to his shliach, make the eruv tchumen for me using fresh figs. The eruv loy begrogeres, and instead the shliach went. And said, well, actually, tomorrow is dates. Yeah, the Erev Levi Grogris, and instead the Shliach went and used figs, specifically Grogris or dried figs. So he did differently than what the Mashalayach told him. Or the other way around, the Grogris for Erev Levi tomorrow. He tells him, use Grogris, and instead he used dates. Toni Choda Eruv Eruv, Tanya Erech Ein Eruv Eruv. Well, then we have one braisa says the Eruv is still valid and another braisa that says that it's not. So how do we reconcile? What are the cases of the two braisas? Omer Rabba, like Kasha, Horabon and Horab Elazar. Those two braisas reflect the opinions of the Chachamim and Rabba Elazar in our Mishnah and in the previous Mishnah. Horabon and Amik Peda, the second braisa follows the Chachamim, who says that we always consider that Mishaleach is Machbid, that their instructions be followed exactly. So even in the case of the get, we said, even though the wife does not have the ability to determine where the get should be given, or even whether it should be given, because it can be done by Al-Korcha, and on the face of it, maybe it shouldn't matter to her so much where it is. Nevertheless, the Chachamim say a person wants whatever he says as Shliach to be fulfilled. So therefore, the Chachamim, in keeping with that, would say that the Eruv is not a valid Eruv because he told him Tmarim and he did Grogris, or vice versa. As opposed to the Horeb Elazar and the first Brice, it would be according to Rabbi Elazar, who says it's just Maram Mokum Huloi, that where it doesn't really matter, then the Mishaleach wouldn't care. So therefore, so Horeb Bon and Amik Peder, Horeb Elazar, Dama Maram Mokum Huloi. So the Chacham are going to say that he's Machbid, Rabbi Elazar is going to say Maram Mokum Huloi. So therefore, Rabbi says the two Brices reflect those two opinions. So that's Rabba. Rabbi Yosef says no. Hava ha Rabbanon. You could say that both braises do go according to the Chachamim, and you could say kan b'shaloi, kan b'shal chaveroi. There's a difference whether it's his own thing or somebody else's thing. Meaning, the first braise that says that it's valid, eruv eruv, is talking about where all of them. So what you have is like this. Rashi says the Chachamim are only going to say that a mishaleach is machbir only, for example, by the wife with the get. So you want it's going to be embarrassing to receive the get. So therefore, maybe she wants it davka to receive it in a certain place, not someplace else. But over here, we're talking about both the figs and the dates belong to the Meshaleach. So therefore, so why would he care whether you use one or the other? Can Meshal Chaver, right? As opposed to the second Brisa that says no good, we'd be talking about where somebody else told him, you could take some of my fruit and use it to do, and use it to do the Erev Tchumen, and instead the Shliach takes some other fruit. So then for sure there's payment, because obviously he doesn't have any reshus over that fruit of his chaver, because his chaver told him only you can take some of my dates, and he has no right to the figs, so therefore it wouldn't be a valid Eru. So you could say that both of them go according to the Chacham. Tosfos discusses that a little bit and says that both of them could be according to Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar would also have to agree that in that case this paid. And Tosfos has a couple of questions on Rashi. So Tosfos explains that Shaloi versus Shochavere is different. Shaloi means that just the opposite. When it's his own fruit. When it's his own fruit, then he's machbir, says Rabbi Yosef, that he wants it davka to be that kind of fruit. But b'shal chaveri, when he's leaving it up, when the fruit belongs to the shliach, so whatever the shliach wants, he could use, because he's using his own peiros on behalf of the mishaleach. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss some other points in this regard about when do we say that the Meshaleach is Machbid, that it should be exactly as he instructed, and when not. You have other examples in Shas where we see that if the Shliach changes something, then he's not considered a Shliach anymore. So therefore, we can talk about, in other words, there's a difference when he mentions different types, Tmorim versus Grogris, then it means he's Machbid on one versus the other. But in other cases, in Shas, he's just more Marim Mokum Hula. He's just telling him it's all the same min, and it's just different places, so therefore he doesn't mind so much. So Rabbi Yosef says that you can talk about Shaloi versus Shalacherim. Again, according to Rashi, with Shaloi, there's no Kepeda. With Shalacherim, there is. According to Tosfos, you can say the other way around. But Omale Abaya, but Abaya asked Rabbi Yosef, in that case, but Ella Hodatanya, what about then? We learn in a Braisa, if the person says to his Shliach, make the Eruv for me and put it in a Migdol, literally Migdol means a tower, but in other places in Shas, it actually explains that it means a cabinet. So he tells him, put the Eruv food in a certain cabinet, the Eruv like a Shoivach, and instead the Shliach went and put it in a birdhouse that's nearby. Or the other way around, he tells him, put it in a birdhouse, and instead he put it in the closet. They also, you have two different braises. One says that it's a valid Eruv, and the other one says that it's not. What shaloi and shochavera is there? Why would it matter? How can you say that that one braisa is saying that it belongs, that the birdhouse belongs to somebody else? If the birdhouse and the closet belong to somebody else, there's certainly no difference whether he's going to put the eruv in the closet or in the birdhouse. The friend is not going to be makbid. So why would we say ein eruv eruv? So wouldn't it have to be like Rabba that the two braises are according to Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim respectively? And the answer is Hosim Nami Ika paid the Migdal, paid the Shoivach, because we can say he doesn't mean where he's actually placing the Eruv. He means take food from the Migdal, or take food from the Shoivach, that take food that right now is located in that Migdal, or take food that right now is located in that Shoivach, and use that for the Eruv. And therefore, so again, his friend may have given permission only to take from the Migdol, not from the Shoivach, or vice versa, and therefore it would be an Eruv Eruv. So it could still work to say that both Braises are according to the Chachamim. The Chachamim will say a person is Makbid on something that really matters, for example, where to receive a get. But when it's his own produce, he won't care, according to Rashi. And when it's somebody else's produce where he doesn't have the shus there, he will care, because after all, he doesn't have the shus on that produce. And according to Tosfos, the other way around, with his own, he will be makbid. And with somebody else's, he might not be makbid so much, because he's leaving it up to the, he's suddenly telling the shliach, you take some of your peiros and make an eruv for me. So therefore, he doesn't really care whether the shliach uses peiros from one place or another. Now that we talked about shluchim for a get, now we're going to talk about the related point, which is that the get has to be written on instructions from the husband. Tosfos earlier in the Masechta points out that it's not really a matter of shluchus, It's more because the get has to be written l'shma, and if the husband doesn't say write it for her, then we can't say it's written l'shma, because after all, most women don't get divorced, so you can't say, in other words, that it's a default thing that you should be writing a get. On the other hand, there are different rishonim talk about that it is a matter of shluchos as well. Okay. Anyway, the point is whether it's shlichus or whether it's because it requires the shema, either way, the husband has to give instructions for the get to be written. And if not, then it's no good. So the Mishnah says, ha'oyma kisvu getu tnu l'ishti. So if a husband says to two people, write a get and give it to my wife. So that's fine. That works because Rashi says people are used to calling this document a get. So therefore saying kisvu get, so even though we've learned a few times in the Masechta, the word get does also mean a different kind of shtar, but usually by default, get means a get isha. So therefore, when he gives that, then that's valid instructions. They can go write and deliver the get on the basis of those instructions. Similarly, if he says garshuha, if he says divorce her, that also works. Or he says kistvu geras utunala, or he says write any geras and give it to her. That also works because one of the shonis that we write in the get, in the last parak of the Masechta, we're going to talk about the actual formulas that are used in the get. So we have the expression over there that you write igeras pturin. So that's valid. And if he says therefore write her any geras, then that amounts, he means any geras of shvukin, of leaving her, of letting her go, meaning divorce. So he says give it to her. Then they're able to write the get and give it on the basis of that, because it's clear that he wants them to write a get. On the other hand, if he tells them patruha, but if he tells her make her potter, now that has a double meaning. It could mean, in other words, for example, that she owes a lot of money, make her potter, help her pay off her debts, or it could mean patruha, as in let her go from the marriage. So does he mean that they should write a get or not? Or if he says parnasuha, take care of her, so that could mean take care of the fact that she needs a get so she doesn't have to do yibum, or does he mean take care of her in other ways, provide her food, provide her clothing, whatever. Asula kanimus, or if he says do for her according to the nimus is a Greek word that was taken over into Lashon Kodesh, that means the law, so do to her according to the law. So does it mean the nimus essentially is the Greek translation of, it's the equivalent of the word choik in Lashon Kodesh. Now the word choik can mean a law, so it can mean according to the law, which says that she needs a get, or it can mean choik, sometimes means a portion of food, like a trifeni lechem choki. So maybe it means that he just wants them to provide her with food. Asula karoi, or if he says do to her what's proper. So again, does that mean what's proper as far as that she needs a get, or what's proper as far as other things that she needs? Loya maklum, then what he said doesn't count for anything. And if they write a get based on that, then it would be possible because he didn't give them clear instructions to write the get. So the Gemara expands on that. Tanan Abanan, we learn in a Braisa, Shalchuha, if the husband says to the Edim, send her away, which is a loshen of divorce, because after all, the Pasuk says Vashilcha mibesai, or he says Shavkuha, which means let her go, which is also you have the loshen igeres shvukin in the get, or it says tarchuha, which means expel her, which is also a loshen that's used in the get, sefer truchin. So in all those cases they can write the get and give it because those are all the loshenes that show that he wants an actual get to be written. But if he says patrua, panasua, asula kanimas, asula karoi, then like we said in the Mishnah, loya maklum, then he hasn't said anything because each of those has a double meaning. It could mean a get, or it could equally well mean something else. Now, though, the Gemara is going to point out within patrua, you have a difference. So Rashi explains, you need a little background over here. In Lashon Kodesh, you have the basic way words work in Lashon Kodesh is you have a shodesh, generally a shodesh is three letters, and then you have different nekudas can be put on that shodesh to make different what are called binyan. So you have the seven basic binyanim in Hebrew grammar. So you have, for example, take over here, the shodesh potar, for example. The simple form of it is, which is called kal, it's also called poal, would be where you put a kometz and a patach on it, and the word becomes potar. That means he did it. He let go, he freed. Then you have there's different other nekudas that you can make, that you can put on those same letters to create other shades of meaning. For example, you can have piter, which is called piel, which usually is like a more intense version of the verb. You have putar, which would be make it passive, and so on. You have pater, which would make it into an imperative, do it, and so on and so forth. So here, Tanya, Rav Nosson Omer. So Rav Nosson says there's a difference which binyan he used. Patru dvar of kayamin. So Rashi brings two lashonas over here. So we'll talk about according to both of them. Rav Nosson Omer patru dvar of kayamin. Pitrua loy omaklum. Rav Nosson says there's a difference. So he says patrua, which is an imperative. So then it would work. Then that's a lot. So Rashi explains that would be a lotion of Rashi first brings an explanation from his Rebbeim, and then he says that actually he thinks it should be the other way around, the opposite of the way his Rebbeim said. So the girsa as we have it in front of here in the Gemara is according to Rashi's second explanation. So when he says patrua is an imperative, for example, the same way as you would have, let's say you have the shodesh diber, which means to speak. And how do you say to other people in plural speak? You say dabu. So the same way, if you want to say sent, you want to say pater her, then the word you would say is patrua. Pat dabru means speak. So patru means let go. So the same way, therefore, so if he says like that, and the test has a dovish in it, really properly it would be pronounced patiruha, patiruha, really with a double test, whatever. Anyway, then that's valid, then that's a get. Pitrua, loyomaklum, but if he says pitrua with a chirik under the pay and no dovish in the test, then Rashi explains, then it would be Meloshin Ptur V'choiva, then it would be Meloshin making her exempt rather than freeing her from the marriage. So therefore, so if he says Ptur, then Rav Nosson says Lo Yomaklum, then he doesn't mean anything, then he just means as far as Ptur and Choiva. Otherwise, he would have said Patrua with the Dugish in the test. Then Rashi before that brings the other way around, whereas Rebbeim learned the other way around. Pitrua would work because then you have the Lashon get Piturin that's written in the get, whereas Patrua wouldn't work. Anyway, but either way, Rav Nosson is saying that there is a distinction between these two. The Shita Mekubetzes actually explains in one of his Truvas, it's not really different Girsois, is the first one pitruha with a chirik and the second one patruha with a patach, and Rav Nosson would say pitruha with a chirik works and patruha with a patach does not. That would be how Rashi's Rebbeim learn, and then Rashi himself would learn the other way around, that patruha is good and pitruha is not. Anyway, the Shita Mekubetzes further explains that according to Rashi's Rebbeim, the main thing is the chirik versus the patach. According to Rashi, the main thing is the dugish in the test versus not, which makes a difference in the meaning. Anyway, Rav Nosson makes that distinction. So Amar Rava, Rav Nosson de Bavlah, who said Rava points out, Rav Nosson came from Bavel. He grew up in Bavel and then he moved to Eretz Yisrael and became the Av Beis Din over there by Rav Shimon Gamliel. So, and in Bavel they speak sometimes Lashon Kodesh and sometimes Aramis. So therefore they're more precise, Dayak ben Pitrua la Patrua. So he notices that distinction between Pitrua and Patrua and says that there's a difference between one and the other, because one of them would be in Lashon Arami and the other one would be in Lashon Kodesh, and therefore one would refer to Get Piturin, which is the Lashon that's used in the Get, and the other one would refer to just exempting her from some kind of obligation that she has. Tana didan about Eretz Yisrael who, but Rava says the Tana of our Mishnah who lived in Eretz Yisrael and they only speak Lashon Kodesh, Loy Dayak, he doesn't have that diuk, and therefore he just says that if you say patrua, whether with a patach or whether with a chirik, and whether with a dogish in the test or whether or not, either way, it amounts to the same thing. And therefore, he says lo yom haklum, because it might mean to exempt her from having to do yibum, in other words, to divorce her, but it might also mean exempt her from something else. Okay, the Gemara asked the boilu. Nacham had a question. What about another lashon? Hotziuha ma'u. What if the husband says to the edim, take her out? So now that could be like a pasuk says v'yotza mibesai, or maybe not, or maybe not. V'yotza implies that she goes out herself. Hotziuha implies take her out, which is not really the same thing. So would that work? What about izvuha ma'u? What if he says leave her alone? Does that mean Ozav is the Hebrew equivalent of Shavak? And we said before Shavkuha works. So here, because Shavkuha, you have the Lashon Negeres Shvukin in the get. So therefore, instead he uses the Hebrew equivalent Ozav. Would that work? Or maybe not. The fact is it's not a Lashon that's written in a get. What about Hatiruha Ma'u? What if he says, make her mutter? Does that mean Hareat Muteris L'chol Adam? Or does it mean to be Mater her Nedarim or undo her belt or something like that? What about Hanichuha Ma'u? What if he says, leave her alone? Again, does that mean leave her and to be able to go out of the marriage to get a get? Or does it mean leave them or leave her alone in some other way? Don't bother. All of those. What about her ilulah? What if he says do something useful for her? Does it mean do something useful, do something effective for her to give her the get? Or does it mean do something else effective for her? Asula kados mahu. What if he says do for her according to the law? So the most is pshut miyachoda. Of all those questions, at least we have the answer to one of them. The Tanya, we learn in a blaisa. Asula kados, asula kanimos, asula karoi. In the Mishnah, we mention asula kanimos and karoi. The Braisa also adds that if he says kados, in all those cases, what he said doesn't count for anything because none of those amount to saying that it actually means a get. It could mean something else. It could mean do for her, according to the law, something else that she's entitled to by law, not necessarily the get. So therefore, so that lashon wouldn't work. But the other ones where he says hotziua, hatiua, izvua, etc., all of those would be a suffix. If they write the get, it would be a suffix whether it's a valid get or not.